You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I'm going to share with you about something that I've been sharing with my church in Sweden. God remains good even in the storm. God remains good even in the storm. You know, what we need to do is to change the way we look at the storms of life. We need to change the way we look at trials. We need to change the way we look at problems. We need to change the way we look at disease. We need to change the way we look at them. We need to look at God as a loving Father, full of love, full of acceptance, full of mercy, full of goodness. And we need to look at ourselves as pure children of God, pure sons and pure daughters of God. God is good. 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 God is good all the time. But the question is, and this is, you know, a common question everywhere: if God is good, why do people die? If God is good, why do we go through wars? How can you tell the people in Somalia that God is good? How can you go to Sudan and tell people in Sudan that have suffered for a long time? How can you go to Congo and tell people in Congo that God is good? It's a challenge. Yeah. It's a challenge. How can you tell people in Congo that praise God, worship God, honor God, thank God in everything, in all circumstances, give praise to God? I mean, it's difficult to explain, but this is how it is. You see, God is good, and nothing can change Him. God is good. Nothing can change God. Nothing can affect God. God remains good. Even in wars and disease and death and trials and storms of life, hey, I tell you, God remains good. Nothing changes God. Nothing affects God. God is a loving Father, full of love, full of mercy, full of goodness, full of acceptance, full of forgiveness. He's a good God. And He will always be good. But you see, what happened is God created a perfect world. God created a good place for us to live. With a good plan. Gave us a good life. Gave us nature to enjoy. Gave us life to enjoy. He has a good plan. He created a good place for us. A good, perfect world for us to live in. And man sinned. So everything you see was caused by Adam. Everything, all the wars and disease and pain and the storms of life, everything we go through were not caused by God, were caused by man. But God says, I planned for you, I created a good place for you to live, and man opened up the door for evil. So God is not responsible for evil. Man is responsible for evil. God is never responsible for disease and wars and killing each other. That is not God's plan. And that is not God. God is not involved in that. So man is responsible. God creates a good place, gives you a good home, and you open a door for thieves to come in and steal what your father has given you. So your father is not responsible for the thieves. You are responsible for what is happening in your house that he gave you. God creates man. He puts man in the garden. And you see, God says, let's make man in our image. And God's plan is to bless man with authority, bless man with dominion. He gives man dominion. He gives man authority and responsibility over everything that he has made. The beauty in the garden. Think about the rivers and the trees and the green and the birds and the fish and the sea, and everything is beautiful. And God says, I give you authority over the beauty that I've made. I give you dominion over everything that I have created. I am a perfect God. I have made a perfect world. And you have authority over all that I have created. And what man does, he opens up a door for evil to come into good that God has made. So God is not responsible. Man is responsible. But this is what God does, because he's a father of mercy, of goodness, of love, acceptance, and forgiveness, full of grace, pure grace. Man, I love God. I love God. I appreciate God. He's a good God. Pure grace, full of grace and acceptance. He says, okay, you have messed up your home. Messed up what I've created, what I've given you. But listen, I'm not going to give up on you. No, I'm not going to stop loving you. I'm going to come in your mess and present my goodness. So what is happening right now, God comes in what we have messed up and he brings his goodness. And what man does, he says, if you're good, why the wars? I'm not responsible, God says. I'm just coming in your mess. And I want to be good in your mess. Oh, what a wonderful God, pure of grace. Pure grace, pure grace. So he comes in the world, in our home that we have messed up, and he says, you know, you've caused all this, but I'm going to step in and be good to you. What you have done, all the mistakes you've done, all the mess you have caused, I'm not going to count it on you. I'm going to bring my goodness in your mess. And I'm going to save you. I'm going to redeem you, and I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to take care of you to save you out of the evil that you have caused. So stop blaming God. Love God. He remains good. He remains perfect. He remains pure. He is a good God, a good Father. So God remains good. Nothing changes him. Nothing changes him. That is why Paul encourages us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I love this. And Paul gets this revelation and he encourages us. You see, we got to change the way we think. We got to repent. We have to repent from the old thinking, from the old mentality. And let's take the thoughts of God, the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. So when I look at this, verse 16, 17, and 18 of 1 Thessalonians 5, I really see the mind of God in Paul. And Paul encourages us and he says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Verse 17 says, pray continually. Pray continually. Verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, this means that we should acknowledge God in everything. We should acknowledge God in everything. When we are happy and rejoicing after God blessing us, we should acknowledge God. When we are sick and unhappy, when we are going through storms and trials of life, we should still acknowledge God, because our God remains good. Our God remains good. Every storm that comes in your life, all the problems and challenges and trials, they do not come to make your life come to an end. No, because God remains good. God remains good. So we should know that the world is evil, the world is bad, everything is messed up, but we have a God that is good. We have a Father that is willing to take care of us. So we should rejoice that we have a Father. We should rejoice that we have a God that remains good. And we should pray continually. And we should give him thanksgiving. This means we should acknowledge God in all circumstances. We should acknowledge God when the economy drops. We should acknowledge God in storms of life, in wars, we should acknowledge God because God remains good. Now, in everything God remains good, we should praise Him, we should acknowledge Him, we should worship Him, we should give thanks, we should pray, we should see Him as a loving Father, as a good God, as a perfect God, as a loving God, even in the storms of life. Now, John 16, go with me to John 16. This is what Jesus says, John 16, verse 33. Are you there? It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. Those that are in Jesus will have peace even in the storms of life. Even in wars. Even in poverty. Even in sickness. We shall have peace because Jesus has stepped in our messed home. Jesus has stepped in our troubles. We shall have peace because we are in Jesus Christ. In this world, you will have trouble. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. Why? Because Adam messed up. Adam caused trouble. God did not cause trouble. Adam caused trouble. So this world is trouble because of Adam. But Jesus says, you shall have peace in me. It's a promise for the children of God. Praise the Lord. It's a promise for me. It's a promise for you. I shall have peace. You shall have peace in this troubled world. So it is possible, ladies and gentlemen, for us to have peace even in the storm. It is possible for us to rejoice and praise God and give Him thanksgiving even when we are in pain. It's possible because we have an assurance that Jesus is with us. We are in Jesus Christ. So it's possible for me to praise God when I have a doctor's report in my hands. That is not being crazy. It's being normal. Because I have a promise. I'm laid off. I have no job. I have my boss's letter in my hands. It's possible to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. He's doing something good in my life. Why? Because I have a promise. In my storm, in my confusion, Jesus is with me. Jesus is with me. He's not responsible for what is going on, but He's stepping in anyway. Grace. Pure grace. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. So, He says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Take heart. I have overcome the world. So, Jesus has already overcome what is troubling you. So, you have a reason to praise God. To give Him thanksgiving. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:16, where He says, rejoice always. Now, rejoicing always means to live in uninterrupted peace in God. Don't let your peace in God be interrupted by what you go through. Change the way you look at the storms of life. Don't allow the storms of life. Don't allow disease. Don't allow poverty. Don't allow bad reports in your life to interrupt your joy in God. Let the joy of God stay in your life. Keep on praising God. Keep on praying. Keep on acknowledging God, even in the storms of life. When you get a doctor's report in your hands, it's a bad report. I encourage you to keep on praising God because your God is still good. That report does not change your God. Storms of life don't change your God. Your God remains good. Bad life don't change God. God remains good. So this means that live your life in uninterrupted happiness in God. Praying without ceasing is the fruit of always rejoicing in the Lord. Praying without ceasing is the fruit of always rejoicing in the Lord, acknowledging God for who He is. If I'm still rejoicing in God, I'm still acknowledging God and thanking God, I will not stop praying because I have faith in my God. I'm still happy in my God. I'm still happy. I'm still rejoicing. I still know that my God is good. So I'll always go back to Him to pray, no matter what is going on. And some people stop praying because they think He's not a good God. He's not a loving God. He's not a, he's condemning us. He's for our sickness. You know, our sickness, you know, has been caused by what we did, by our past, by our sins. And so God is mad at us, and God will not heal us, and God will not bless us. Now that's a lie. Now that's a lie. He's still good. Go back to Him and pray. Let the elders lay their hands on you. You shall be healed because He loves you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on, give Him praise and glory because He's still good. Nothing changes God. Nothing changes God. Now, giving thanks in everything or acknowledging God is the fruit of both uninterrupted peace or uninterrupted happiness in God and unceasing prayer. If you do not stop acknowledging God, rejoicing in God, and if you don't stop praying, you'll be able to thank God. You will have a testimony. You will come back with a testimony, I'm telling you. Don't stop rejoicing. Don't stop rejoicing in God. Don't stop acknowledging God. Don't stop praying. One day, trouble will end. And you will come back with a testimony. That is when you're able to say, I thank God because He healed me of cancer. Praise God. I thank God because my bills have been paid. I thank God because now I'm no longer homeless. I thank God because I have a baby after a long time. I thank God because now I have a job. You know what you did? You kept on rejoicing in the Lord, in the happiness of God, in the joy of God, and you kept on praying. You did not stop. And now you come back with thanksgiving. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'll never stop praising God. I will never stop praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, nothing should separate us from the happiness of God. And nothing should stop us from acknowledging the goodness of God. Don't be deceived by the devil. Don't be deceived by what is going around you. Stay focused on God. Focus your eyes on God. He's still good. He's still loving. He's still good. He's still merciful. He's still full of grace. He's a good God. Nothing should separate us from the happiness of God, and nothing should separate us or stop us from acknowledging the goodness of God, even in our storms. God is good. Now, I'm encouraged by Romans 8, verse 31. To 39. Romans 8, verse 31 to verse 39. No, let's go to verse 35. Let's begin from verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Verse 36 says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, 37, we are more than conquerors. Praise God. Through Him who loved us, even in our mess, even in our mistakes, He loved us. Even we didn't love Him, when we didn't care about Him, He loved us and he cared. You know, he cared for you before you cared for him. He loved you before you loved him. He's a good God and nothing's going to affect his love. His love remains. Praise God. I love this. I love this. His love remains. Even when I mess up, his love remains. When I mess up his house and break all the cups in the house, I'm still a son and his love remains. He doesn't value the cups more than me. Amen. I mess up God's carpet. He doesn't value that more than me. Yes, he's unhappy. Yes, I should not do that. I mean, it's not accepted. It's not that we should go and sin and mess up because he loves us. No, it's not good. But when we do it, he still loves us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 38 says, "For I am convinced that neither death..." Hallelujah. Amen. "No life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing is able, praise God. Oh, nothing is powerful enough to take us from the hands of the Father. Oh, I love that. Nothing is powerful enough to take us from the love of God. If we change the way we look at the troubles and tribulations and sickness and wars and pain in our lives and disease, if we change the way we look at those things, they will not be able, they are not powerful enough to take us away from the love of the Father. Our Father is still good. Our Father is still powerful. He's more than able. He's a good God. He who began a good work in us is still faithful to accomplish it. Amen. "Greater is he that lives in me than the one that lives in the storm." Woo, praise God. Greater is he that lives in me. Greater is he that lives in you than the one that lives in the world. Our God is good. Our God is great. Our God is greater. Our God is loving. Our God is accepting. He's a good God. Nothing will change God. Let us look at him as a loving Father, as a good Father, full of power and full of love. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to finish with three things or three reasons why we should acknowledge God even when we are facing challenges or troubles or when we are in storms of life. Three things why we should acknowledge God, why we should give thanks. Like Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give him thanks. Three reasons why we should do what Paul said. Are you ready? Number one, God knows you. God knows you. Nobody knows you more than God. God knows you. And he knows your tears. You see, there are tears you cry in your bed, unknown tears, secret tears. And some of us, we are hiding things in our lives that even the people we live with in the same house, they don't know what we are going through. But God sees the secret tears. God knows your secret tears. God knows you. Everyone say, God knows me. And God hears me. God sees my tears. Now, Exodus 3, verse 7 to 8. God speaks to Moses. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt." What did he say? "I have seen." I have seen. There are people who see what you go through and they don't help you because they are powerless. But our God is powerful. When he sees it, he will take care of it. All right. He says, "I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I have heard, and I am concerned about their suffering. Oh my God. Oh yeah, he's concerned. He's concerned about evil. He's concerned about your pain. He's concerned about your tears. Come on, you are not alone. God is with you. And God says, I'm concerned. I like this. He's concerned. He's concerned. Praise God. He says, I'm concerned about their sufferings. Verse 8 says, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Wow. He's not just concerned, but he has a plan. Praise God. Woo! I feel like dancing. I feel like jumping. You see, he has a plan. He's not just concerned about your economy, but he has a plan. He's going to fix something. Like you always say here, he's fixing to come. I'm telling you, he's fixing to come. He's fixing to step in. He says to Moses, I have seen, I have heard, and I'm concerned, and I'm fixing to step in. And when I step in, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take them from that land of slavery, of suffering or pain. I'm going to take them to a place they have never been before. And you see, Moses, this place I'm taking them is a big land. It is a beautiful place flowing with milk and honey. This is God speaking because he knows his people. Now, this means that the powerful is able to come down and fight for the powerless. The powerful is able to come down and fight for the powerless. Number two, you have a redeemer. Give thanks. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Why? Because you have a redeemer. Amen. Let's go to Job 19. Job 19. Verse 25, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. Oh, praise God. And that in the end, he will stand on the earth. 26, he says, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. Oh, praise God. I have a Redeemer. You have a Redeemer. He is about to stand up and stop the storm. So praise God. Worship God. Acknowledge God in everything because he's your Redeemer. You have a Redeemer. Give him thanks in every situation because he's about to stand and redeem you. Praise God. He's about to show up and redeem you. You have a Redeemer. My Redeemer liveth. Yes, I can't pay my bills right now, but my Redeemer liveth. I have a bad report in my hands. My doctor says I'm about to die, but my Redeemer is not dead. My Redeemer is alive. Praise God. Amen. Oh, praise God. I'm jobless, but my Redeemer is not jobless. He's still doing his work. Praise God. He is about to redeem me. Amen. You see, focus your eyes on him. The more you focus your eyes on Jesus, the more you become like Jesus. The more you do what he does. The more you speak like he speaks. The more you walk like he walks. Remember when Peter walked out of the boat and stepped on the waters and he began to walk on the waters? He was doing what the master was doing because he was focusing on the master. But when he removed his eyes from the master and looked at the storm, he began to sink. So change the way you look at these things. Don't focus on them. Don't magnify them. Magnify your God. Don't look at the mountain and say, oh, the mountain is so big. It's so big. It's so tall. It's so dangerous. Don't focus your eyes on that thing. Don't focus your eyes on your unpaid bills. If you do that, they're going to eat you up. I'm telling you, don't waste your time. Don't waste another day looking at those things and worshiping them. They will eat you up, like Peter. But focus on Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm going to do what you do. I'm going to say what you say. I'm going to walk like you walk. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to look at things the way you look at them. Oh man, look at things the way Jesus looks at them. Now, the last one, number three, you have a promise. Thank God because you have a promise. Woo, I have a promise. No matter what is happening around me, I have a promise. Yeah, no matter what they say, no matter what society is saying, I have a promise. The economy is so bad in America, but I praise God, I have a promise. The whole world is complaining. I'm not going to complain. I have a promise. People are dying of cancer. I'm not afraid because I have a promise. Amen. Amen. And if you have it, you're going to be healed because you have a promise. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Woo. Oh, praise God. Number three, you have a promise. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. I love this. Verse 1, 2, 3. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you, says the Lord. I have redeemed you. Are you suffering right now? Are you in pain? Are you in confusion? Are you living in a storm? Are you living with a challenge in your house, in your body? Do you have a challenge? Do you have pain? Do you have disease? Do you have anything that makes you uncomfortable? He says to you this morning, I have already taken care of that thing. And the end is about to come to that thing. Amen. Oh, you have a solution, and the solution is in Jesus Christ. I always tell the people in my church that, you know, problems don't happen to me. Challenges don't happen to me. I happen to them. I happen to them. They don't happen to me. I happen to them. You know why? Because the greater is He that lives in me. Amen? And I'm not saying I don't face challenges. I face them. I face problems. Man, I meet mean people and they treat you bad. Amen. I mean, you are living in the evil world. But listen, my mentality says, I'm happening to this problem. I'm happening to this challenge. Because greater is He that lives in me than the one that lives in the challenge. Amen. I'm happening. I have a solution in me. Praise God. Okay. So he says, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. I have called you by name. He knows you. You are mine. Nothing is going to separate you from me, says the Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Are you encouraged this morning? Nothing. Not even death is going to separate you from God. He says, nothing is going to take you away from me. You are mine. Okay? When you pass through waters, I will be with you, says the Lord. I'm going to be with you. You know, man messed up this world, but I don't care because I have a promise. My God is with me. Woo, praise God. He is with me. He says, when you pass through waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, oh, praise God, they will not sweep you over. They are not able to sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Woo! Hallelujah! That is my promise. That is your promise. Oh, praise God. All right, devil, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm ready to face it because I know I have a promise. I will go through. I will make it in life. You are not a failure. You see, when they get you out of here and take you in the valley, it is no longer about the location. It is about the blessing. It is about the promise. Praise God. You are more than a conqueror. Anywhere you go, you will live. Anywhere you go, you will survive because you are a child of a promise. I have a promise. I have a promise. Take me in the desert, I'll find water. Woo, praise God. Take me in the mountains, I'll find water. Take me where there is no honey, I'll find honey. Why? Because I have a promise. I mean, that's why we are different. Yeah. That's what, I mean, people ask you, Wilberforce, you're always smiling because I'm different. I don't want anything to take away my praise. I don't want pain to take away my praise. Why? Because I have a promise. You have a promise. Praise God. Stand on that promise and praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo, can we stand upon our feet and just give him praise right now? I feel the anointing in the house right now. Praise God. Their faith is coming alive. Oh, raise your hands and just give him thanks. Give him thanks. Oh, give him thanks. Give him thanks. Come on now. Give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Just give him thanks. Give him thanks. Close your eyes and just see him right now. Lift up your hands and give him thanks. He's doing something right now in your life. He's doing it in your life. He's doing it in your marriage. He's doing it in your finances. He is a good God. He is a loving God. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let faith come alive. Let faith come alive. Let faith come alive. Let faith come alive. Yes, right now. Right now, right now, fathers and mothers and young people and grandfathers and grandmothers, oh, faith is coming alive right now. Faith is coming alive right now. Faith is coming alive right now. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. We praise you and glorify you. We are not alone. We are going through this evil world, but we are not alone, Father. Oh, Father, we know we will not blame you for what is happening. Lord, we shall believe you to take us through. In Jesus' name, we believe right now. We believe for your goodness. We believe, God, for your grace and for your mercy. We worship you. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Amen. Amen.